Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Wednesday, the 7th of December, recording at 9:07 p.m., and that's Greenwich Mean Time. Now, first, a quick look at the highlights here today. The Asian stock markets were pretty well all firmer. Good gains in Hong Kong, over 1.5%. Similar also for Japan. The European stock markets actually tipped a bit to the downside here today, not by much, and Sweden was an exception, but only up a tiny fraction. In the Americas, Wall Street was in the minus column most of the day, not by a great deal, but it did rally in the last hour and before giving up some of the gains, but still closed with a gain of 2.5 points for the S&P. That's up 0.2%. Dow had a slightly better percentage gain. NASDAQ actually closed down 0.01%. Okay, long-dated government bond prices a little bit firmer in the U.S. and the USA. The U.S. dollar seesawed a little bit in a narrowish range, closing a little bit weaker. And the euro is currently at 134.10, the Australian dollar 102.87, sterling at 157.07. Those are all up a bit against the greenback. And in precious metals, again, we had some seesawing in here today. Gold is currently not far off the high of the day. It's at 1741.7. And it has been as low as 720 and as high as 1743. Platinum currently in the plus column after a dip down to 510. It's at 1528 as I speak. Palladium is steady, 681. Has been a bit higher. And silver is the weaker one today, but well off the lows. It's currently at 32.55. Crude oil is a little weaker today on both Brent. I think it's also Brent, but the WTI is down 73 cents at 155. And the Brent is at 109.68. That's down $1.15. The industrial metals were mostly a little lower. Tin and lead were exceptions and slightly firmer. The grain and bean complex closed mostly lower. Okay, what's going on here overall? Well, stock market sentiment is generally firm, and when Wall Street pushed to the upside today, it was helped by an announcement that the IMF may come out with a $600 billion package provided by G20 for the European Union. Now, G20 action would make sense if China wants to become involved as an important player in the IMF and other global institutions, it will have to pony up its share of money. Now, it has every incentive, I would argue, to do that for a European rescue, not least because Europe is China's biggest export market. And there's a general feeling encouraged by drip feed news coming out saying don't expect the big bazooka or other banalities of that sort on the 9th, but just sort of drip feed news of Europeans working together and generally along the lines of putting in place the austerity programs which governments are agreeing to, and in the knowledge that The ECB has already indicated that it will be more accommodative, and that would mean, I assume, buying more bonds. And the bond yields have stayed down, having taken a big drop on Monday. That's the troubled periphery bond yields, with the big declines occurring for Italy and Spain in particular. Okay, technically the action for these stock markets is pretty favorable overall. We have a modest short-term overbought condition, and a number of these indices have rallied back up, not far from levels where they had encountered some resistance previously, but far more important than that, they did encounter support earlier this month above the lows that had been established variously between, well, starting in August, but mostly in that September-October period. And as long as those lows continue to hold, Fuller Money maintains that the cyclical bear market is certainly over for the leader stock markets, and in the process of ending, evidenced by some of the downside failures that we saw for some of the weaker indices. But keep a close eye on the banks, because all along, and right back to 2008, the 2007 actually, this has been a story about the banks. They are at the heart of the problem and the concerns, and banks really do need to be rallying in here for the bullish hypothesis, which I would define as a cyclical bull market. And if the cyclical bear market is ending, then and or over, then we are in or entering a cyclical bull phase here. But that does require a generally firm tone from the banks overall. And they have rallied significantly this month, which is a bit of good news. But most of them are still in overall downward trends, and that is not good news. So, okay, every journey starts with a single step, but further rallies, further and significant rallies, are necessary, rather, to confirm that really significant lows are in. I think there's a good chance that that will happen, but more importantly, that's what it needs to do, is to say, to provide that kind of confirmation. Now, the long-dated bond prices, there's still enough nervousness around, because people say, well, yes, there's a lot of money on the sidelines, and also in government instruments, particularly short-term government instruments, and if the European Union really does pull off this great escape, then we will see some of that money flow back into equities on a global basis. Conversely, they're saying that if we were to have a sudden breakup of the euro, that that would be catastrophic. That latter view is probably correct, that it would be catastrophic, but I think the odds are significantly, say at least 4-1 in favor that the European Union pulls it off. And that's been our view pretty much all along, as you know. Now, let's now get just a little bit more on these bond markets. The quantitative easing, the extremely low interest rates that we see, the buying of these government bonds will help keep the yields low for a while longer. That's what we've seen in recent months. That shouldn't surprise us in terms of keeping U.S. Treasuries low during this uncertain period, along with Bund yields low and U.K. gilt yields low. But I maintain that these are artificially low levels created primarily by the quantitative easing, and that it won't last over the longer term. That's those who have parked money on a short-term temporary basis need not be so concerned about the long term at this stage, although it does strike me as madness to have money in short-term German bunds where you're actually losing money by parking it there. The only way one can justify that is if they really do believe and hope that Germany is going to pull out of the euro and suddenly issue Deutschmarks. Well, if that's what happens, I congratulate them in advance on their prescience. I doubt it, and a lot of people will be lying, will have been proved to have been lying through their teeth if that does happen. But that would be a big windfall for those who are holding these short-dated German instruments, were it to occur, because a relaunched Deutschmark would immediately appreciate against the euro and every other currency, I suspect. But again, that's very long odds, in my opinion. I do not expect it. Now, precious metals. Interesting, right now, we have some triangular shapes on these chart patterns, which chartists will be watching. In other words, take gold, for instance. You've got a series of lower highs starting in August, and you have a series of rising lows, which have occurred more recently. And it's coming to the apex of that triangular shape. Which way is it going to break? Well, my guess is that it'll be to the upside, because gold is still fairly orderly within its overall upward trend. There's always the yes but and some reservations, and we want to try to be objective about these things. And if gold and silver were not to perform over the medium term, it would be because of their climactic activity to the upside that they had seen earlier this year. But my hunch is that that marked only medium term tops, particularly for gold, and that we have been in a support building phase prior to some renewed strength. Well, let's take it one leg at a time. Gold is the relative strength leader at present, and it needs to break and hold above the $1,800 level. That would break the progression of lower rally highs. I think there are only two, really, but that would be significant. And it's not all that far away here at 1745, so it could do it in one very good day or a couple of days to the upside, get above that $1,800 level. But it would need to hold that or thereabouts, and that would be another improvement in the overall pattern, which, as I say, shows what I think is quite clear evidence of support building in recent weeks. Now, the other precious metal, which has picked up a lot, to my mild annoyance, because I had been planning to buy some, and then suddenly it rose for consecutive days, and I'm not in there at the moment, but that's palladium. And palladium is just under its top formation and its MA. So that's an interesting level, because it wouldn't take much on the upside for that to break back above the MA and also to push up into its overall, or its small top formation that was formed earlier in the year. And that would be a bullish development. If we're looking for upside leaders, it's gold and palladium. And now silver is, I've always described silver accurately, I believe, as high beta gold, meaning it's much more volatile. It'll go up eventually on the upside. It'll eventually go up more than gold in percentage terms, although it seldom will lead initially. And to the downside, it'll fall more. As people say, well, it's more of an industrial metal than a precious metal. Now, it's lagging, as is platinum. And if we're going to get a really big move between now and, say, The end of the first quarter of this year, which is a period of seasonal strength, if we're going to get a really good move, we need to see commonality. In other words, they would all be participating, they would all be performing. Will we see that? Well, I think that's better than a 50-50 chance, and I'm positioned for that, with an overweight in gold for me, and sort of a medium weight in silver. An underweight in palladium, and unfortunately, I don't. I beg your pardon, an underweight in platinum, and unfortunately, I don't have the palladium yet. But I'm likely to pick it up at some point. And other commodities, we're still getting a reset to the downside, which is lowering inflation pressures. And don't forget, we've got all that liquidity in the background. That's what's going to drive stock markets and precious metals higher, I believe. And that's the Fed's quantitative easing, that's the UK's quantitative easing, and that's China and the rest of Asia moving away from their monetary tightening, so becoming more accommodative, and I think we're going to get the ECB's quantitative easing before too long as well. And on that note, all the best to all of you.